Welcome again this morning. The Lord's put something on my heart. You know, for the last couple of months now, 2-3 months, the Lord has been challenging me. We've had issues and problems, and I'm saying, Lord, what are you doing? And I believe, Lord, what the Lord is doing at the moment, he's wanting us to serve him in maybe a different way to what we used to. I'm not saying a new way, but maybe a deeper way. And I've listened to a lot of men who I do listen to over the years, have shown me their lives are given, who are saying that the Lord is preparing us. The Lord is getting us ready for something that he wants to do. Not what we want to do. Not what man has determined, but what he wants to do. And sometimes we don't really like what other people want us to do. And the Lord is no exception. We like to do our own things. We like to be in charge. And a couple of weeks ago, I was sharing on David, Psalm 51, where David asks the Lord to forgive him. He sees his sin. Up until that stage, David did not see who he was and what he'd done as being wrong, until the prophet stood in front of him and said, "You are wrong. You're in sin." And he repented. He said, "Lord, do not take your spirit from me. Renew in me a steadfast heart." And I was looking at that and reading it. He talks about give me a clean heart. And so the theme this morning is our hearts. We've been talking about it earlier on as well. You know, the Lord doesn't want anything else except our hearts. And it's not that he wants our hearts. He already owns us, all of us, completely, if we look at what he's done for us. And it's a matter of us surrendering, being broken, being contrite and humble before the Lord to allow him to work in us. Now, I don't know about you, but there are times when we don't really like being humble. We all have a certain amount of pride. My wife, never mind. She said the same thing more than once. But the fact of the matter is, we all do. We all have pride in some areas of our lives where we don't like to be told what to do. And then 2 weeks ago, Mike and Andrew were sharing on Romans 2. And you know, when you look at a scripture, the Lord suddenly highlights something to you. And in verse 5, he talks about, let me get it for you. I'll use mine. Let me just get that for you. I'd just like to read it to you, because there were a lot of things that Andrew or Mike put the history in place, and then Andrew spoke to it. But the one thing that I wanted to point out was that he warns them in at this verse 5. He speaks about it, and he says, but in accordance, and he's talking about judging. Okay, so just a recap. He was talking about judging one another, and that's not your place to judge. It's the Lord's place. And he was actually coming out quite strongly against people who do judge. Now, I'm sure none of you have ever judged somebody else. I'm probably the only one here, but we need to understand that this is a fault that we all have at some stage or other, that we are inclined to judge one another. And I'm sure you're not going to continue, but the reading in verse 5 says, but in accordance with your hardness and your impenitent heart, you are treasuring up for yourself wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. And I sat and looked at that and thought, Lord, what are you trying to say here? And very simply, the Lord is saying that we all need to guard against the hardness of heart. Whether we like it or not, we live in a world where very few people believe in Jesus, even fewer follow Jesus, and a lot of them do not understand what it's about. Unless you're born again, I believe you can't really understand what the Lord's about. You know, the grace that he brings, the mercy, the love that he brings to us. And I must admit, I was brought to the place of examining myself. Am I in a place where I have hardness of heart? And I know that may be a strange question. You're all practicing, believing Christians, But do we have areas of our heart that are hardened? And it led me to Hebrews verses 3-8. If we can actually go there, I'd like to read Hebrews 3-8, and I'll use that as my main scripture this morning. But in Hebrews 3-8, I'd just like to read Hebrews 3-8 to sort of set the tone, as it were. He says, today is Sunday, all day. If you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion in the day of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tested me and tried me and saw my works 40 years. Therefore I was angry with that generation. I said, they always go astray in their hearts, and they have not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath that they shall not enter my rest. You know, I looked at that and I said, who me? And when I say I'm sharing this morning, I'm sharing what the Lord is speaking to me about. I am not perfect. I look back on some of my life and we won't even go there. But the Lord has been incredibly gracious. The fact of the matter is, I do have in some areas a hardness of heart. Why do I have a hardness of heart? You know, because when the Israelites were in the desert, they saw God's miracles, one after the other. They saw the manna. When they got tired of the manna, they bleated. And what did the Lord do? Brought them all a flock of birds and said, here, eat. You know what I'm getting at? So they saw the water come out of the rocks. They saw the Red Sea parted. They saw the saving from the snakes. They saw God's hand all the time. But when Moses went up the mountain, he was missing for 40 days. 40 days, a month and a half, 6 weeks. In that 6 weeks, by the time Moses came back, what had happened? They'd forgotten everything, put aside everything that the Lord had done, and gone back to the idols. Aaron, I mean, he was like, for me, he's a serious guy. But even he was led astray, and he built an idol. Moses came down, he wasn't very happy. The Lord wasn't happy. In fact, the Lord was quite happy to obliterate a lot of them. And in fact, he made a promise to those youngsters who weren't there that that whole generation died in the desert because of unbelief. They did not trust. They didn't have the faith. They didn't believe that God would undertake for them. Now, I'm not saying that we as Christians have that attitude today. But I know some people who do have that attitude today, and I pray that nobody here has that attitude. Because very simply, it's that lack of faith in the Lord. I don't know, maybe we've lived long enough to see the Lord's hand in our lives, the grace that he's given us. And we need to be very careful that we don't harden our hearts. And when I say harden our hearts, the Lord speaks about unbelief. In other words, we're fine until temptations, trials, issues come before us. And what do? We duck. We make a plan. We go somewhere else. And the last thing we do is turn to the Lord. I don't know if you guys have come to a place where things happen in your life and you do everything you can to fix it. And when you cannot do anything about it, what is the last thing you do? Lord, help me. Pray. And we need to change that. We need to go to him first. Because the Lord has done amazing things. I see the grace in our lives. I've seen the grace in other people's lives. Other men and women who I know who've been faithful to the Lord over many years. And for me, I want to challenge you this morning. And please don't misunderstand me. I'm not challenging you to condemn me. Now, Jesus came not to condemn the world. He came to save the world. And for me, I don't want anybody here to feel condemned when I speak. Because what the Lord is wanting to do is build us. Build us into vessels that are suitable for use, that are suitable for him to use for his purpose. Not what we think. And that sometimes is a difficult thing. Because if we're in a place of hardness of heart stops you hearing from God. So we just drift along in the mundane each and every day. And the problem with the heart of unbelief is that you can actually end up slowly but surely sliding away. We look at this thing of unbelief. We know the story of the Israelites. But in Mark 16, I think it's Mark 16, Jesus rebukes his disciples for unbelief. Because they were told, this is after his crucifixion, they were told by the reliable witnesses that Jesus had risen, he was alive. And they said, nah. He told them that repeatedly he would rise from the dead. And they refused to believe those people. And he rebukes them for unbelief. Now, if he rebukes his disciples, okay, the Holy Spirit wasn't there yet. But if he rebukes his disciples, I mean, I've got to look at myself very carefully here. And I need to examine myself. I need to see who I am. I'm not talking about condemning myself, because I know that if I see my sin, as David saw his sin when Nathan came and challenged him, he didn't see his sin. And we ourselves, in a situation, we don't always see our sin. And I use the word sin. You go to a lot of places, they probably throw me out if I started talking about sin and repentance and forgiveness. But that is what the Lord wants. You read the scripture. The scripture is clear that we need to be careful that we don't fall into a place of sin, a place of unbelief, where we are not trusting, we're not following, not believing what the Lord wants of us. You know, the problem is that we've been in a place, I've been in places where I've come to the stage where I haven't believed, going back in time, that the Lord will undertake for me. And I have learned over the years with my wife that the Lord does undertake. He doesn't always undertake that you want it, I can assure you. But he does undertake. He does listen to your prayers. But we need to have a heart of righteousness. And if we have a hardness of heart, that righteousness is not there. You know, it says the prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And woman. But if your heart is hard, you're not going to get there. So for me, when we look aside, we look at the rest of that scripture, and I just want to read it to you from verse 12. It says, "Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." And I just want to dwell on a couple of things. It says, exhort one another. Is it the pastor's job or the leadership's job to keep your heart right? It's part of, yes, he's there to encourage, he's there to build, he's there to rebuke if necessary. But is it the pastor's job to make sure your heart is right? No. He's there to encourage us. Yes, he's there to build us. He's there to do whatever is necessary to bring us to a place where we are taking care of our own hearts. The problem sometimes when we look at the world today, it's easy to get caught up in the sin around us. And we were talking earlier on with David. He was saying a preacher had a go to him for going attending a football match, or a rugby match, or a netball match, or whatever it may be, going to the theatre, getting on the bus, getting on the train, going to the shops. You are mixing with the world. And whether you like it or not, there's going to be some overflow. You get in a queue and somebody gets upset, and you try to just follow through. You get upset as well. Why? We live in this world, but we're not of the world. And we need to be very careful that we don't become contaminated. And with the best will in the world, we are going to be. I'm not saying it's maybe, but you think about it. You go to a schoolyard, and if you go to a senior schoolyard, I've had the dubious pleasure of picking up my granddaughter from school. Whoa! Look, I've been around a while, eh? And let me tell you what, some of the language or the attitude you see there, you think, excuse me? And it's difficult because that rubs off on you. And you've got kids. Imagine what it's doing to your children. So we need to guard them as well, guard their hearts. You know, one of the things is, quite often people don't think it's important to read the word. They don't think it's important to fellowship. They don't think it's important to pray. I'm not saying they don't. They don't attach an importance to it. But if we're not in a place of reading, of praying, of fellowshipping, of partaking in the table of the Lord, we risk the slide that we have. And sin, or the deceitfulness of sin, is a slow slide. It's not a fast life. It can be very, there's a lovely word in the English language called insidious. Okay? Which means it's very sneaky and it slides. And the heart is deceitful above all things. And Proverbs 4 says, guard your hearts, for it is the wellspring of life. And I think that for me, in the past, I haven't paid enough attention, personally, to my heart or where my heart is. And so, so what happens is, in Romans 10, it talks of faith coming by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So very simply, if we're not fellowship, we're not reading, we're not participating, we're not here on Sundays, we can slip, we can slide, we can move in a place where we slowly become, well, I didn't worry about going to church on Sunday. Next Sunday is not as difficult when you don't go the first time. So I'm going to be praying for Andrew quite a lot. So very simply, it's easy to end up in a place you think it doesn't matter. And that is where we begin to slide. And in terms of the what we're talking about with your heart, is to use the example of a garden. Now, I know there's gardeners here, there's people who deal with plants and gardens and growing things. With the best will in the world, no matter how much you cultivate and look after it, you're still going to get weeds popping up in your garden. Alright? And if you don't pay attention and remove those weeds when they're small, they become trees. I mean, literally trees, big bushes. And all of a sudden, you're looking at the back thing, where did that come from in my life? But sometimes you don't even see it for what it is. You see it will be part of your normal garden. Because a lot of these weeds that grow, these little sins, are quite deceitful. And your heart hides them. We must be very careful to look after our hearts. We've got to weed it. We've got to nurture it. And it's like looking after, you know, the Lord refers to vineyards often. The Lord owns a vineyard. You're the caretaker. You're the person who He's put in charge of that vineyard. Yes, He's there. He's there to help, to send whatever help you need. But you are responsible for that vineyard. You're responsible for cultivating it, watering it, feeding it, taking off all the unneeded shoots, the suckers, and keeping the weeds out. You're responsible. And possibly, we don't feel that's important. And due to a lack of attention, I'd say almost a neglect or a carelessness of what the Lord is wanting of us, or the scripture that He gives us, the people that He brings with us, the fellowship that He brings with us, for us, we can begin to compromise. We begin to have no discernment. And what I'm doing this morning, I'm not saying this is where we are, but I think with the world as it is, with the incredible pressure from the media, from different people, from different doctrines. I've seen doctrines recently that I'm speechless, truly speechless. When I see things where I think, where did that come from? It's a spirit of the world that's coming to the church. And these are people, we talk about serious people in serious places of influence who are preaching. There is only one word to explain: heresy. In the old days, somebody would have probably taken them out and burnt them at the stake. I say that, sorry. But really, that's what we're talking about. That's how bad some of it is. And it's done openly and plainly. And we need to be very careful to make sure that we don't go there. We need to pay attention to our hearts, to tend that garden, to keep it clean. Let me ask you this question. Sin grieves the Lord. Okay, it grieves the Lord. It also provokes Him. So we'll just focus on the one bit to begin with. Sin grieves the Lord when we sin. Does it grieve you? Does it grieve you when you sin? Are you aware of some of the sins in your life? And I use the word sin. It's maybe a better way to use it if I'm being polite. It's things that are not pleasing to the Lord. That sounds gentle, doesn't it? But in the end, it still comes down to sin. For me, what was sin 10 years ago is maybe God. But things that were not sin to me 10 years ago, the Lord is slowly bringing these things, saying, you need to dig deeper. You need to take more of this root of this plant that's been growing in your garden. Because the Lord, I think if the Lord had to show us our complete state in His eyes, I don't think I'd handle it very well. And you need to understand, please, from my side, I've been there. I've done it. There are times when I did walk, we both did. I'll include her in this, okay? We both walked in darkness. We did not walk in the light. We walked in a place where, I won't say the Lord was put aside, but he certainly was not of importance in my life. I'm talking as a Christian. I'm talking as a Christian that came out of the deep. And you know, it's easy. Because the more you're allowed to come into your life, the more it begins to dull you. You become hard of hearing. And you cannot hear what the Lord is saying. You know, there was a time... Sometimes we think, and myself, you think that your conduct, your good works, is all that you really need. You get born again, so now all I have to do is just live a good life, keep our conduct right, and that's fine. It's not. Because we can't exist like that. We've got to keep in touch with the Lord. The other thing that I found in the past, and I used to work on this quite a bit, I used to think that I could sin today and repent tomorrow morning. No problem, thank you, Lord. Amen. I'm forgiven. Goodness me, what a way to think. But that is the way I used to think. That literally you could sin knowingly. I'm talking about sinning. It doesn't matter. But the next day, Lord, I can ask for forgiveness. Your grace is there, your forgiveness is there. The problem is that our forgiveness next morning is probably remorse, not repentance. And so we don't get forgiven. And slowly but surely, you do it once, the next time it's not so bad. We start to slide even further. And it becomes a very slippery slope. Psalm 73 says, he's speaking about watching the world around him. He said, I nearly slipped. I was on the slippery slope. But thank God, we have Jesus who's come to save us. And the Lord doesn't just save us. He saves us just once. But we then got to keep ourselves in a place where we are paying attention to our salvation. It says, look for your own salvation with trembling and fear. Why does the Lord say that? Because it is difficult. We need to have a discernment when we're going into the world today. Because no matter where you go, you're going to be subjected to the world and what it does to you. And I say with the kids, I have no idea. I had a younger man who I've known for many, many years. And he runs a youth group. A young adults group, sorry. And he came to me with a question about how to deal with this young adults group. And I have to say to him, I have no idea. I truly don't have the experience or the understanding. I just know that the Lord is still on the throne. He is still in charge. But I do know people, men of God, who have worked with things like that. So I was able to say to him, go and talk to this man. But I personally, I really could not answer the man's question because I don't know. It's beyond me. It's just not part of me. I don't understand it. And if I don't understand it, how can I help another man when he doesn't understand it? So you need to be honest as well. You know, we can make a lot of excuses in church today. And one of the things that I've seen more and more is that the church leadership is in a place of abusing their positions. And I'm seeing it more and more where there are men who believe, because of who they are maybe, that they don't need to keep a soft heart before the Lord. They don't need to be humble. They don't need to be in a place where they're allowing the Lord to work in their lives. And that is, I'm seeing more and more of that. I'm saying, why is that, Lord? It's because these men believe that maybe it doesn't apply to them. I don't know. But the problem with sin, once you allow the first time, the first one says, look, nobody's watching, nobody can see. And so you sin. Oh, nobody saw that. So the next time, it's a lot easier. And if any of you, I'm sure none of you have, but if you have ever compromised on something, you'll find that the first time is maybe the difficult time. But then after that, as we move on, it becomes easier. It becomes a lot easier to go, yeah, no problem. Nobody will see that. Nobody knows what I'm doing. But we, the Lord knows exactly what we can't hide it from him. And we have got to come to the place where we understand that sin promises much but produces little. Sin promises life but brings death. And I know I'm speaking like this because the Lord is speaking to me. So please, I am sharing what the Lord is talking to me. Is it something that happens overnight? Are there areas in your life which are not pleasing to God? Do they get resolved straight away? No, they don't. But it's the attitude of heart that says, Lord, I see my state. I see my heart. Come work in me, please. Come and do a work in my heart. And the biggest problem that we all have is allowing the Lord or the Holy Spirit to do that work within us. Because most of the time, it's not comfortable. We've got to come back to Jesus when he said, if any man would follow after me, let him deny himself, pick up his cross and follow me. And we don't like to deny ourselves. We don't like to pick up our crosses. And you know, when I was looking at Ephesians says, stand firm. Stand firm. It says, when all else is done, stand firm. And if we look at, where am I? 1 Corinthians 15, if I can read that to you. So it's 1 Corinthians 15, verses 57. It says, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So although we are speaking about the state of our hearts, we need to come to the place that there is a solution. There is a solution. And I'll go back to the solutions. One of them is to allow yourself to fellowship, to have relationship where people are able to speak into your life. You know, in that scripture in Hebrews says, exhort one another. What does exhort mean? Do we all understand the word exhort? Exhort is to encourage, but it's also to rebuke. When I say rebuke, don't misunderstand me. Love without the truth is what? Worthless. Truth without love is what? Self-righteousness. Is it going to do you anything? What's it going to do to those people? It'll probably wound them. They'll run away from church and never see them again. We need to learn to speak the truth in love. In such a way, we ask the Holy Spirit to speak. If I see something in my wife's life that is, I believe, is damaging from a scriptural point of view, from what the Lord is wanting to do, do I just let her go, get on with it? Do I let her walk through to destruction? I can't. I've got to come alongside. And trust me, she can be quite touchy, isn't it? So what I'm saying is I need the Holy Spirit. I need to have the right words, the right time. And I pray about it. Say, Lord, show me. There are people here. If I saw something in your life, I would come alongside you. But I would come beside you, hopefully in a gentleness of saying, Lord, show me how to do this. But I can't come and talk to you if I'm not in the right place. How can I come and talk to you? I say, come alongside Paul and say, listen, my friend, my brother, I see this in your life, it's not a good thing. How can I talk to this man when I myself am not in the right place? Am I in a place where I'm clean? Is my heart clean? Or am I in a place of having unbelief? Am I in a place of having a hardened heart? Am I in a place where I have not looked after this garden that I've been asked to tend? And the heart is what it's all about. You know, many years ago, we had a Bible study and we had some new people. And the husband was very comfortable, quite involved, and he added his thoughts. His wife sat there for, I don't know, 6 weeks, I don't know, a long time, 4 weeks, and he didn't say a word, not a peep. And at that stage, we were sharing on the gospel. We were sharing on the fact that without the cross, we had nothing. And we were sharing like this for I say, a good 3 or 4 weeks. And she suddenly piped up and said, you know what? What are you talking about? It's an affair of the heart. And you know, it stunned me because she's literally out of the blue. It's an affair of the heart. And what the Lord wants from us is not the works. What the Lord wants from us is the heart. The works will follow. You know, James says, don't worry about the works. You'll see my faith by my works. But then in Ephesians 2:10, it says, God has produced these works for us. God has put them in place, not us. I've spent many years of my life running around doing things that I think are good for the church. The Lord has called me to be part of the body to build it. But there are times when I have got to be, to my sorrow, try to build it my way, the way I think. I come out of the corporate world, and let me tell you, you learn all sorts of things there. They don't apply to the Lord and to being a believing Christian, a serving, faithful, believing Christian. And we're asked to be diligent. And when I talk about being diligent, we need to be disciplined. And sorry, I don't mean in the wrong way, but we ourselves need to discipline ourselves. How many? No, we're not asked the question. Let me put it another way. We need to have a quiet time. If your quiet time is 5 minutes, 10 minutes, depending on your schedule, but very simply, what are you doing about the quiet time? What are you doing about spending time with the Lord? Even if it's 5 minutes or 10 minutes. Because what happens? We get up in the morning, we get tired, and we think, I can't be bothered. So you spend 5 minutes. The next day, that wasn't too bad. You don't spend any time at all. And you'll find yourself suddenly, 2 or 3 weeks down the line, you haven't had a quiet time. Why do I talk about quiet times? Because I understand the importance in my own life that if you don't spend time with the Lord, if you don't spend time in the scriptures, if you don't spend time praying, if you don't spend time fellowshipping or partaking in the table of the Lord, you're going to begin to slip. And we begin to end up with a hardened heart where we don't hear what the Lord is wanting from us. And I believe that in this church, the Lord is wanting to do something very special. But it's in His grace, in His strength, and it's His plan, and it's for His purpose. And we need to be available. And if we're in a place where we are allowing little bits and pieces of sin, and I use the word sin in our lives, things that are not pleasing to the Lord to come into our lives, it'll stop us hearing from Him. And with it will come an incredible blessing. Not a blessing in your physical sense, because a lot of it will be trials and temptations. But the blessing in your spiritual self will be beyond what we can understand. And I just want to encourage you that in Hebrews 4:14, it says, we have a high priest who understands us, who lived here. We have a living hope. That song was very clear. We have a living hope of the Lord in our lives. And if we have a look at what the Lord wants of us, if we read the scriptures, it doesn't always agree with what we want to do. And we need to have this high priest that when we see what has gone wrong, we can come before Him. He's there to freely forgive us. He's there. He's called us. He doesn't want to lose any of us. He wants to forgive us. But we need to come before Him and admit us to repent. Do we all know what repent means? Repentance. It's a word that's not used in many churches anymore. But repentance is how we come to be born again, how we come to know the Lord, because we repent of our lives. But it's not just a one-off. It's a time when you're walking along and you see this taint of sin come into your life. Because we live in this world. I don't know what you watch on TV, but I know the Lord's speaking to me about what I watch. And I am slowly but changing. I've got habits that I know the Lord is saying, I'm not happy with that. Does it happen overnight? No, but I've got to be in a place of being disciplined and say, okay, Lord, give me your grace because this is what I want. It's the attitude in my heart that the Lord is looking for. He doesn't want just a doing. If we're just going to go doing without a belief and a faith in our hearts, why bother? It's like giving. Giving is something that needs to come from the heart. If we're giving because you've been taught you have to, I don't know if it's got any real benefit. I'm not saying you shouldn't. Don't. Andrew wouldn't be happy with that. No. But just on that point, I've never heard Andrew preach on giving. Why? Because he's interested in your heart first. Because if your heart is right, that'll come naturally. And there's a lot of things in our Christian lives. If your heart is right, the rest will follow. So, sometimes we end up with a situation where obedience to what the Lord wants causes some real trouble, some big waves. Disobedience, or not listening to what the Lord wants, gives us smooth water. Have you ever thought about that? If you're going through trials, is it maybe the Lord who's actually wanting to grow us? Do we accept the trials, the temptations, the persecution, whatever may be the case, and say, no, I don't want that? But the Lord has brought it for a purpose, and you need to see His hand in those parts of your life. Because it's in the storm that we seek Him. You know, when life is going really, really well, isn't it amazing how the Lord sort of drifts away in the background? As soon as you have trials, you have issues in your life, what is the first thing? Well, I know the first thing I start to do now. Lord, help. Please, I need you. And so this morning, I want to ask that you, we will share the table of the Lord. We'll have a song now. And when we share the table of the Lord, I want to ask you to ask yourself, look at your heart and say, Lord, if there be anything in me, show me, please. To examine yourself. Paul says, examine yourself. And it's not a matter of condemnation, woe is me, for I'm undone. It's a matter of the Lord wanting to grow us, to bring us gently to a place where He can use us. The decision we've got to make is just a decision in our hearts to say, okay, Lord, I'm prepared to go. Am I prepared to give up my own will for you? And it's as simple as that. And it's an attitude of heart. And when that attitude of heart is correct, the Lord will put the rest in place for us. We don't have to strive or struggle. It's just that attitude saying, Lord, yes, please show me. So this morning when we share the table of the Lord, I ask you to come before the Lord. Come before the cross and say, Lord, I'm here. If there be anything in me, show me. If there is things in there, just ask Him to forgive you. Repent and say, Lord, forgive me. The Lord is faithful. The Lord is gracious to do exactly what you want Him to do. But we need to be in a place of accepting that we may have these issues in our lives. So, for me, the message I want today is we need to guard our hearts. It is the wellspring of life. We need to be in a place of keeping our heart safe from the world around us. And today, in this world that we're living in, it's a difficult thing. It's not easy. But exhort one another, encourage one another. That's what the Lord asks of us. So that is what I have to share this morning. Just that we need to be aware that sin, we've watched that advert for Febreze, where you become nose blind. Is that what they call it? We can become sin blind. We get used to living a certain way. We become sin blind. We need to be very, very careful. But we're here. We will pray for you. You can pray for your neighbors. It's a priesthood of all believers. So this morning, encourage you. Ask the Lord to show you what's in there, then ask Him to fix it. And then once He shows you, He will give you the strength and the grace to do it. Amen. Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you for your word, Lord. I want to thank you, Lord, for your encouragement, Lord, for, Lord, you desire to build us. Lord, you desire to build us the place where we are suitable for your use, Lord, that we are vessels worthy of what it is that you want of us, Lord. And Lord, it's not something that we can do in the flesh. Lord, it's something that you do in the spirit. And I thank you, Lord, that you love us. Lord, that you love us enough to rebuke us. You love us enough to show us our hearts, Lord. To show us where we need to seek you. To allow you, Lord, to change us. To bring us to that place where we are suitable for your use, Lord. So, Lord, I thank you for this morning. Lord, pray that for each and every one of us that we'd have open hearts before you. Hearts that are willing to allow you to work in them. And we thank you, Jesus. For you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. There is no one like you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. If I could ask the worship team just to come up and we'll sing a song. Once we do that, we'll share the table with you.